Well, welcome back. Great to see you and be with you here this evening as we just focus our time and attention on the Lord. Let me say a quick prayer for us. So, Lord God, we are thankful for your goodness and your grace towards us, O God. I pray that we would never get over the fact that though we are lost and dying in our sin and even rebels against you, you sent your son Jesus, and Jesus lived the life that you called us to live, but none of us did. And then he died our death in our place for our sins so that we might have new life with you, O God. We thank you for that truth. It's the foundation of all that we are as Christians is your gospel, Lord God. So I pray that as we go this week, that we would press into your gospel truth, Lord God, and that our hearts would flow and respond to it in worship and in love for you and love for one another and for others that we'll come in contact this week. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, good to be back with you. I want to invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, as we have been going through the Baptist Faith and Message, we are in Article 13. So we've covered a lot of ground. There are 17 articles in the Baptist Faith and Message, so we are on Article 13 tonight. So if you'll go to Matthew chapter 6, we'll look at that one together. Of course, we'll look at a lot of other passages that will be up on the screen, but Matthew chapter 6 will be kind of our foundational passage as we think about the idea of stewardship tonight. The Article 13 is on stewardship. And so I know most of you, when you think of stewardship, what's the first thing you think of? Money, right? Absolutely, money. And it is about that, absolutely. The Lord tells us where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so that's an important portion. God shows us through his word that we as believers and followers of Jesus should actually see our whole lives as a stewardship. And so let's just dive into it together. We have the article. I'm going to just read it as I have every week. And then I've just broken it down into a few points for us to think through it tonight. Stewardship. God is the source of all blessings, temporal and spiritual. All that we have and are, we owe to him. Christians have a spiritual debtorship to the whole world, a holy trusteeship in the gospel, and a binding stewardship in their possessions. They are therefore under obligation to serve him with their time, talents, and material possessions, and should recognize all these as entrusted to them to use for the glory of God and for helping others. According to the scriptures, Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionately, and liberally for the advance of the Redeemer's cause on earth. So that is Article 13 of the Baptist Faith and Message, and foundational text is Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So from the Baptist Faith and Message, the first point I want us to think through is that all that we have is God's and is owed to God. All that we have is God's and is owed to God. That is an extremely countercultural statement, right? Because the normal way of seeing what we have and the things that we own is it's that something that we've worked hard for. It's something that we have fought and clawed in order to get or to receive. Yet the Bible shows us a different worldview, is that all that we have is God's and is owed to God. Psalm 24, verse 1, says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." I've heard it said that King Jesus can look over the entire earth and there's nothing that he does not claim mine, that all things are his. A biblical vision of the Christian life must include this biblical concept of stewardship, that God is the creator and the owner, and he gives us gifts for us to be stewards of and to steward well. Think about in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1, God assigned Adam and Eve the responsibility of being stewards of the garden that God had created. You see, at the heart of biblical stewardship is the understanding that we do not foundationally own anything, but that everything that has been given to us and entrusted to us as managers of those resources. Thinking about this idea that we did not create any of this. We didn't make any of this come to be. Everything that we have, whether it be material, whether it be our own skills and talents, whether it be our time, we didn't create any of that. It was all a gift of God's grace given to us, and God calls us to steward those things. Listen to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 2. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. And that idea there isn't even talking about money. It's talking about being stewards of God's word. God's saying, my gospel is for you, but it's not yours. You didn't do anything for your salvation. It was given to you as a gift that you had to receive. But now that you have it, now that you've received it, I've given it to you as a stewardship, to steward my message to others. Listen to Matthew chapter 25, a little bit longer passage, but it is a parable, and so it all goes together. So let's read the parable together. Starting in verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey," Jesus says, "who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. The one had 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered any seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away.'" I mean, think about this idea that we live in a world that we did not create, and we receive its gifts and its resources and we created none of them, but God gives it to us as stewards. And God's saying through this parable, he gives us, did you see what we're capable of? It's like, what? One guy got five, one guy got two, and one guy got one, right? And so he's saying there's even different levels of capacity, which might hurt your pride a little bit, but I actually find that completely freeing, right? I don't have to compare myself to everyone else and say, well, am I doing as much as this person? Am I giving as much as this person? Am I doing ministry as much as this person? Am I bearing this much fruit? No, all he's saying is, you just take whatever the Lord's given you and you be a faithful steward of it. Because everything that God's given you is not just for the good of yourself, it is for the good of yourself, but it's also to bless others. So you bless others. And so just that idea that it is all God's anyways. And so every time I think about stewardship, I want us to think about the three T's. I think the three T's are extremely helpful. Time, talent, and treasure, right? Time, think about time. Yeah, sure, maybe we have different capacities in terms of our finances or our skills, but none of us gets more time than anyone else. We're all given the exact same amount to steward. We're all called to be stewards of our time. Talents, meaning your skills, the things that God has gifted you to be good at doing, able to do. Thinking about your spiritual gifts in order to serve the church and fulfill the Great Commission, but also gifts in business and work or being a handyman at home. All the gifts, the things that you are able to do is a gift from God. And then, obviously, treasure, your money or your monetary things. And, you know, I know that someone could say, well, you know, I worked really hard for those things, right? I went to school and I've sacrificed a lot to get where I am. And those are all true things, not taking away from any of that. But I've heard it said, do you really believe that if you were born in poverty in Africa with no natural resources, no education, all that, that you would have been able to get yourself where you're at today? Well, no, a lot of it was totally out of your control and had everything to do with what just God gives you in order to steward, because it's his choice and it's his resources. And so that just leads us to just have open hands in regards to our stewardship of things like our time, our treasure, and our talents. Second thing I want us to think about is that we have a spiritual debtorship, a holy trusteeship, and a binding stewardship. I don't think a lot of times, I know I don't think about this idea of being a spiritual debtor to others. Well, I guess sometimes I do. But this idea is what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. I didn't have Romans in there, but I think it's important enough for me to turn to real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so he's talking about having this stewardship of the gospel that has gone to salvation. Look back up at 14 though. He says, I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul saw that since God had been so gracious to give him his gospel and that he had faith in his gospel, it was now he was like a debtor who owed that gospel to others. I've heard it said that all we who have experienced the grace of the gospel owe that opportunity to every single person in the world who has not yet experienced that gift. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. The Bible tells us we were bought with a price. That means that all that is ours is at Christ's disposal. Do you see that your things that way? Do you lay your time and your talent and your treasures before the Lord and say, God, you bought me with a price. You own me. You tell me what you want me to do with these things. How do you want me to steward these things? You see, following Jesus is the only power in the universe that frees us from unhealthy attachments to things like our material possessions and money. While the world around us does everything possible to accumulate as much as possible, Christians understand that all earthly goods are to be enjoyed and used on a temporary basis. And we understand that ultimately our resources are at Christ's disposal in order to be used for his purposes and for the purpose of his gospel. Romans 1:14. Oh, I did have it there. I just jumped ahead in my mind. I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. Paul is saying that because he has received the grace of Jesus' saving gospel, he is now commanded by Christ to use his resources to get Christ's gospel to others. You see, followers of Jesus are freed up, like we talked about this morning, from this world system, sinful, selfish system, because we understand the most valuable possession that we have is the gospel. It has to be my favorite parable, that there was this man, he was walking through a field. And as he was walking through this field, it was not a field that he owned, but as he was walking through this field, he found a treasure in this field. And that treasure was so desirable and so meaningful to him that he hid that treasure. And he went and he sold everything he had so that he could come back and buy that field. A little shady, I think, right? I mean, that treasure was someone else's, right? But no, he just buried it down, covered it over, went and sold everything in order to buy that field. And Jesus is saying, man, when you have the opportunity to know Jesus and to know his love and his grace and to be part of his kingdom, man, you'll do anything because the value of that is so much greater than the value of anything else in your life. And listen, Jesus was quick to warn us many times. We don't even have the time to talk about how many times Jesus warned us in regards to our possessions. Matthew 6:24, Jesus said this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Because money's just one of those things that comes to rule our hearts. And Jesus is saying that if I'm Lord, then nothing else can be ruler of your heart besides me. So we have a spiritual debtorship, a binding stewardship. We're called to steward. And so next, our resources of time, talent, and treasure must be used to the glory of God. So I want you to just think really practically. Being a good steward goes far beyond just our material resources. Each one of us are stewards of things like our time, our skills, and our spiritual gifts. Think about all the things that God has given you and how you can grow in stewarding those things well for his glory. So just do it for a second. Just evaluate for just a second. How are you stewarding your body? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, God gave us our body, and it's the only one we ever get. And so how are you stewarding your body to the glory of God? Because he says that we've been bought with a price. We're no longer our own. How about stewarding your mind? What do you allow to sit in your mind? What things that do you entertain yourself with and allow to affect your mind and your thinking? Are you a reader? I know I've been talking a lot about that lately, but it's so huge, right? To be in the Word of God and to be a reader. What if you just sit and are quiet, where does your mind naturally go? Because you see, whatever you're feeding yourself, that's what's going to come out. And so that's a good test, is where's your mind? And are you stewarding your mind well? We know, we've learned time and time again that the mind is not something to take for granted, right? There are things that go into the mind that we cannot just remove or take out. And they affect us and they affect the people around us. And so how do you steward your mind? How about your abilities? How do you steward your abilities? The things that God has given you, the things that you're good at, do you use them? Are you active in serving God's church or helping your neighbor or coworkers in places that in the things that you are good at? Have you ever thought about, even in our hobbies, the things that we just enjoy, there's an opportunity usually in that to not only enjoy it yourself, but to bless someone else? I mean, maybe you know someone younger than you that, man, they could really use the skill that you know. And so maybe just coming alongside them and building a relationship with them would mean just teaching them what you know. I mean, I've really enjoyed learning anytime I can from someone who's good around the house, like handyman kind of stuff, right? Because I'm awful at that. I know nothing about that. That's why I always just stay in school, Jason. You can't do anything with your hands, just stay in school, buddy. That was always the message, right? And so I always appreciate when someone does have the talents to actually do something with their hands where I can just come alongside and learn something, right? Then think about your time. I mean, I think that's one of the biggest challenges of life is learning to steward our time well. And I believe in our culture, we become more and more to the point where there's so many different options, right? Some people spend all of their time in a digital universe, not in the real world, right? I mean, some people spend, there's just so many ways to spend your time. And your life is really going to come down to how did you prioritize your time? Did you prioritize your time for things like loving God and loving others, being a part of Jesus' mission through the church, loving your spouse and your family? Are those the things that you used your time for? What about stewarding things like your influence? Your influence as a spouse, as a parent, as an employee, as a neighbor, as a church member? Do you look for teachable moments? Things that you've learned, do you share them with others? These are all ways to steward what God's given you. You know, in Corinthians, it says that the afflictions and the pains that we go through in life, Jesus uses as he comforts us in those things so that we can walk with and comfort others. Listen, do not ever waste your pain. Do not ever waste the hardest parts of your life. Press into Jesus. And as he comforts you, then he's going to use those things to give you empathy and ability to walk alongside others. And then finally, the last point is that we as the church should be marked by generosity. We should be marked by generosity. The Baptist Faith and Message says it this way: Christians should contribute of their means cheerfully, regularly, systematically, proportionately, and we need a dictionary tonight, don't we? That's a lot of words there. And liberally for the advancement of the Redeemer's cause on earth. But hear this: a Christian stewardship is not motivated by obligation, but by a joyful sense of privilege. It's why God's kingdom is always an upside down kingdom, right? How do you gain more? You gain by giving. How do you save your life? Well, you save your life by losing it. When you come to the place to know and understand what Jesus did through his cross and resurrection of becoming poor that we might become rich, it becomes a joy. It becomes a joy to steward our lives well. It becomes a joy to give, and it becomes a joy to be generous. Because those who have received much have the joyful privilege of sharing with others. And we honor and worship Jesus by giving with the generous spirit of Jesus. You know, one spiritual principle to learn in life is the idea of the tithe. You hear about tithing in churches sometimes. It's this idea, and it comes back to an Old Testament principle. I'll read us a few verses. First, from Genesis 14, verse 20. This was before there was any written law of God, and it is from Abraham. Abraham said, "Blessed be to God Most High, who has delivered my enemies into my hand." And Abraham gave a tenth of everything. when Abraham met Melchizedek, who was this priest-king kind of figure, after he had just defeated an army, Abraham realized that it was not his strength or his ability that allowed him to defeat this army, that it was God. And so Abraham gave a tenth of everything that he had back to God through this king-priest Melchizedek. And it becomes a principle throughout the scriptures that you see. Leviticus 27, 30 through 32, where it was actually written in the law, every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff, shall be holy to the Lord. That's there you see this idea of giving your first and your best. And some people say, well, does the tithe apply now, right? Because it's the Old Testament and we know Jesus came and fulfilled all of the law. And as we read in the New Testament continually draws back on this idea of the tithe, but then it even goes further, honestly. Paul says to be a cheerful, a joyful, a radical kind of giver when it comes to generosity. So I would say that 10%, bringing your first and your best, is a principle of worship to God. And make it your first and your best. Listen, you're never going to learn to give generously and to give sacrificially and cheerfully if you wait to the end of the month and see if you have enough left to give. God says to bring the tithes into the storehouse. Bring your first and your best to God. Now, I say by God's grace, this is something Robin and I, we decided on before we even got married. And no matter what, we've just had that spiritual principle ingrained into us that no matter what, whatever we make, we're going to take the first 10%, not taxed, and give to the Lord. And so, and we're just going to budget that way. We're going to plan that way. Why? Because God is worth our first and our best. And we believe that he's doing things through his church in the world that we want to be a part of. And we want to be a part of that, not just through our mouths, but through our finances. One more verse, one more passage, Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Verse 10, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test. This is the only thing in Scripture that God says, test me on this. Other places in Scripture, we hear things like, do not test the Lord your God. But he says in returns to bringing your first and your best and your finances, you test me on this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. You know, I think about the apostles in the book of Acts. It says the first time after Pentecost happened and they were out preaching the gospel, the first time some of them got brought into trial and they got beaten and told never to talk about Jesus again, it says that they left cheerful and grateful. Why would they be able to leave cheerful and grateful? It says because they were counted worthy to suffer for the name. And I'll be honest, I have the spiritual gift of giving, and so maybe I feel this more strongly because of that. I know not all of us has that as a spiritual gift, but I can feel that same way. It's like when you have an opportunity to give, when you have an opportunity to be freed up of some of your resources by giving it to someone else and someone in need, it's like you can walk away and be cheerful and be thankful that God put you in a position to be able to be used to bless someone else. For while we were still sinners, God gave Jesus to us. And the way that we steward our things like our time, talents, and resources has everything to do with how we're responding to our generous God in worship and praise to Him. Let's pray together.